Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Can we just get to the Tom Brady thing first before we get to all of the
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Delicious audio.
Never heard of it.
Well,
Brady
over the weekend, he was on a podcast with
the guy that cuts the hair,
He
said he may come back?
He wouldn't rule out a return or something like that, or, you know, if the right team called and mentioned the Patriots and all that stuff, we've already quit you, let's not do this again, you are not walking back through that door, Tom Brady. You're being honored in June. They're not then going to be like, one more time, one more year. Here we go.
To come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back. I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
That's right. He wouldn't be opposed to it. I thought it was I wouldn't rule it out. He wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't know why you would like all of this is something that would happen. All of it. What?
It's just really funny to me. Ring, ring. Hey, Tom. Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, I need you, buddy.
I got a guy on the other line for White Walls. Let me call you back, Gerard, and then click, and there you go. Stop it now.
No, I will not.
We really think that Gerard Mayo would be the coach that would lure Tom Brady in. So the same Gerard Mayo who should be praising Jesus that Alex Van Pelt walked through the door.
First of all,
that's the crew that's going to.
First of all,
hey, Tommy, come play for a guy who's taking his first trip around the sun as a head coach and a first time OC. And you know more about offensive football than both of them. But you know what, Tommy? Here we go, baby. Come on. Come play for us.
Wow, you are
Get
shattering
the hell
everybody's
out of
dream.
Here.
Here's the person who will make this happen. We're in imagination now a little bit.
I've already decided going quarterback at three.
All right, here's a changeup. The quarterback that I want is Brady. There's so much guilt.
Trade number three
so much
for Brady.
Guilt. Yeah, trade it. If Brady was serious about this, let's use this as the premise.
Okay.
If he was serious and he was just not done and he's so happy that ding dong the coach is gone, that he now feels like it's safe to go back in the water and be the head coach and finish his career as a Patriot. Forget about these one-day contracts. Forget about June 12th. Forget about it. I want to play one more chance. Kraft would absolutely make it happen. Not think about it. Not talk to. Make it happen.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Care what you say. Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
So,
yes. Kraft.
So
hey,
who would
hey,
he?
You know the whole silos? They're back up again.
Yeah. So who would he? Who would he go out to? You know, sign for Tom Brady. I'm just curious.
What do you mean? Who would he go sign for Tom Brady?
Oh, well, because Tom Brady.
He's free. He's retired. Yeah, he can sign and play with anybody.
Oh, no. But I'm saying, who would you bring in to make sure the guy doesn't die at 46, 7 years old behind what they have down there? I'll tell you what. Not having a left tackle, Christian, that is real enticing to an old quarterback.
Well, there will be some.
Some moments where you might get your teeth busted and you'll look like Gresh when it's all said and done.
From Brady's end, there will be some, by the way. That's what happens right before you sign the contract. Or it's one more thing. Mm. It's usually one more thing or, oh, by the way, let's go with one more thing. You're going to have to hire this guy, bring this guy in. I need this wide receiver. And then, yeah, if you can do all that,
mm-hmm.
I'm in.
Sure, sure, sure.
Keep also up, keep Jerod Mayo out of the offensive meeting room. I want a separate locker with my own shower mm-hmm. and separate entrance.
Oh, we're Alex! Alex has got to come back.
Oh yeah, Alex is like some sort of a. He has an office with a nameplate and everything.
And if you're Mayo, you make him an assistant coach if you had to.
The fact but is, like, I played with old. So ludicrous. I played with old quarterbacks. I get it. Like, there's some of them. He is right. He's a humble brag right there. Like, I always keep myself in shape and I can be ready at a moment's notice. Like, he's like the militia.
Come on,
well,
now.
We need to ring the bell. Here
he's
he comes.
He's not out there doing the, you
it's
know,
not the same.
300 throws it's a not, day listen, to get him ready.
He's not going
to
be Vinny Testaverde,
no.
Okay, who I played with, who literally won games as a 44-and-a-half-year-old.
Hold on. It didn't matter what age Vinny Testaverde was. He was the first quarterback in NFL history to win with a confirmed diagnosis of rigor mortis. He couldn't move.
No, he couldn't. He
was in rigors,
and you know what happened?
Won 8 games.
See, you're joking, but there's truth to this.
I'm not wrong.
See, when he did try to move, he tore his hand.
Exactly.
He tore his Achilles. He's like, hey, you got to move a little bit to your left. I'm not moving.
I'm not laughing.
Oh, hey, you guys, it's going to be on two. Hold the line. All right, Mr. Testaverde. Everybody called him Mr. Testaverde because no one
he
felt
was so
like
old.
They were like close enough to him or personal enough to call him like Vinny. I called him Vinny.
I was going to say, yeah, because you two were the old guys standing
but I was,
in the corner.
He was still 10 years older than me.
No, but you and Vinny Testaverde were like the old guys in the Muppets. You're sitting in the balcony on your days off looking around.
Young kids, I don't get it.
Oh, these dumbasses. Hey, guess what I had to tell this one the other day? Oh, yeah, I wanted to tell this one this. Sitting around swapping stories. All right, so the Brady stuff we flush. You found this. I want you to kind of tee up the – because – if there has been a group of people, ladies and gentlemen, out there listening to us on the Odyssey app, and we got some Red Sox tickets in 20 minutes to give away and all that kind of stuff. For those of you who are listeners to the show or, you know, consistently in and out and maybe even listening for some of the draft talk as Fourier and I'll be in Detroit next week, Fourier has taken out a lot on the draft community, ladies and gentlemen.
Am I laying it on too thick for the draft community?
Well, no, I don't think so at all. Yeah, because I'll tell you why. It's no different than our critiques of sort of what's going on with the Patriots right now, where there are a couple people who are screaming, let them do their job and then rip them. Yeah, because that happens all the time. Where you maybe see some mistakes being made or you want to call out some gaslighting or whatever. So, no, I don't think you're lighting you. In fact, you're probably not lighting enough people on fire from the draft community.
I just felt like this was kind of a sign that I feel like it's interesting to me how the ESPN NFL draft crew, the analysts, like there's nothing but praise. And I feel like it's a joyous time. It's a great moment in these players' lives. And who wants to hear somebody crap all over these players?
Right.
Like, nobody wants to hear it.
No one wants to hear the truth.
They don't want the fallacy now.
They just
filter out the bad. Just give me the good. I think it's literally what they say.
Fair enough.
And
now they got Christian Fourier. Doesn't run tremendously.
See, he was polite to me. I was slow as crap. He didn't give the reasons why.
I didn't.
But he protected me. I'm happy about it because like it was bad.
Yeah, it really hurt.
Okay. But at the time,
high second round pick, people are just thinking, Berman's drinking.
But I can just see Berman, even when I hear that 100 times, because Nick plays it every day as a reminder. I'm seeing him reading his script, and he gets to like 5-140, and he's like, "Oh, Christian Fourier out of Colorado doesn't run extremely well.
Tremendously well.
Yeah, it doesn't run great, you know, but he kind of, you know, put a bow on it for me." There's a guy by the name of Fred Siegel, and he runs this Twitter account called Freezing Cold Takes or at Old Takes Exposed.
Fred Siegel does the Lord's work out there on the interwebs.
Yeah, and it does. He's even got a book and everything. I thought it was like classic that you can buy on Amazon, but it's not as good as your book.
Mm. So that'd be the Great Book of Boston Sports. Yes. Let's get now.
So just a quick little compilation of analysts talking about quarterbacks, really. Mm-hmm. It's really specific to quarterback because really this seems like the year of the quarterback with so much attention on all these quarterbacks. Here's a quick little, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds of all the quarterbacks that were taking and what was said of those guys after they were drafted.
If I was New England, I would take Rick Meyer. The reason I would take Rick Meyer is because I think that he could sell tickets in the New England area to the Notre Dame fans.
Jamarcus Russell's going to immediately energize that Raider Nation, that fan base, that football team on the practice field in that locker room. 3 years from now, you could be looking at a guy who's certainly one of the elite top five quarterbacks in this league. And I think when you look at getting into the first down and getting the quarterback, is a perception maker for the Cleveland Browns. Good job for everybody. It'll be interesting as we watch Miami gain. Dan Marino falls all the way to him, and they make it. Now they pass on what maybe Brady Quinn, the whole career, will be looking at Miami, staring that down to pick number 9, saying, oh, you passed on Brady Quinn.
Joey Harrington knows how to manage a football game. He can make all the throws, and mechanically, he's very sound.
Tennessee Shake Locker, their new signature.
That guy, he's a Husky, man. Upside. And he's the kind of face you want representing your franchise. This is a you'd want your daughter to marry this guy, okay? I mean, he's just as good as they get. He's like you.
He has millions of dollars. That's the kind of guy I would vote for if he was running in an election. Chris, I love Locker. I'm a Locker stalker, man.
Right, now we know Gruden went a little far.
Yeah.
And there you go. There's some stuff from there.
You heard Mora. You heard, was it Jim Mora? No, it was UConn coach. What the hell is the UConn coach now?
Now?
Yeah, now. It's Mora.
Oh, Jim Mora Jr. Yeah. So he was doing draft analysis?
He was working for the NFL Network. He was the one talking about, hey, you want this guy to marry your daughter.
Oh, that was him.
That was him? That was Jim Mora.
Oh, my God. I thought that was Jaws.
No. And then you had Brady Quinn and Steve Young was talking about Brady Quinn. You had Jamarcus Russell, who everybody – it is so comical. And I was trying to catch some of the phrases that they use when it comes to, like, how they don't believe it. Hey, the producer tells them, dress it up. Don't crap all over these guys. They're up at the podium right now hugging Roger Goodell.
Well,
and their parents are crying. They're happy.
I think in sports talk radio, it's not our job to sell hope. It's our job to analyze or talk about it. I think in that instance, when you're working on an NFL, but you're selling the hope of the player.
But think about it. Russell.
Just quickly, imagine they draft Caleb Williams and they go, oh, here's another dopey pick by this suckbag organization, you know?
Back in the Drew Bledsoe draft, it was Drew Bledsoe and it was Rick Meyer. Those were the two big guys. Just like later on, it was Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf,
mm-hmm.
and then it was Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III, and it's usually two guys, and which one do you want, one or two, you know? And Rick Meyer.
That he could sell tickets in the New England area to the Notre Dame fans.
And that was Joe Theismann. His analysis was, hey, he can sell tickets to the New England fan base because there's a lot of Notre Dame fans there.
Jesus.
Think about the nuttiness that goes into the reasoning. I don't even understand it. It just draft season is kooky as it is.
Yeah.
This year is like one of a kind.
Well,
one of a kind.
It's also a reminder because there's some in the Twitch who are like, what in the world are they talking about this for? Because it is the assumed level of risk. I don't think people understand the fork at the road. We're all in with this organization. They are 3 years away from the kind of irrelevancy that Robert Kraft was fighting when he bought the team.
And for me, it's more of a, listen, they're probably going to be wrong. That's where I look at. They're probably going to be wrong because there is this whole mindset of chasing what you desire most and ignoring all the red flags, and you have a need. So if you have a need, it's more likely that you manufacture the player that you think best fits you. And all these guys, Jamarcus Russell, Brady Quinn, Jake Locker, Joey Harrington,
Wasn't he a number three pick, too, I think?
And none of them worked out. None of them worked out. It's just buyer beware. It's just the odds are that you're going to pick the wrong guy.
Again, the problem is the people in front of you and the are you going square peg round hole. Did they go into this process to find the best guy to fill their need, or did they go into this process to find the best players? And maybe there will be a draft day trade that will shock us all. And, you know, I'd be dead wrong if they traded out. Because I think they made up their mind a long time ago. We're just taking the guy that's there. And we're going to be happy with it. But if they trade back, trade down, whatever, then they're looking at this and saying, no, the need doesn't meet the value at that point. I just don't think that's going to happen, which is why I'm cranking on them. And if you and I are sitting there on Friday in Detroit and they've traded with Minnesota at 11-23 and done something different, then color me and a lot of people surprised. Because there's the whole, well, New England's out there, but are they really going to move type thing? I know we got to get to the J.J. McCarthy stuff and John Henry catching some flack as well, but not for what you would think. We will get to what a certain member of the draft community is saying about J.J. McCarthy next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Red Sox tickets in 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
You know, Shime, I once went to a strip club with these guys. I just gotten in the business. Let it breathe. That's what the lady told me when I walked in, too. She was so impressed with my body. She was like, hold out, let it breathe.
The Greg Hill Show, 6 to 10 right here on WEEI.
So we've been a little rough on the draft community. Oh, Ward, you've been a little rough on the beaver. It's a 60s reference. Google it, folks. But there's a guy out there named Greg Cosell, who you and I actually have a lot of respect for. Yeah. He is a part of the draft community, mm-hmm. but here is what makes Greg Cosell different. You will not get an opinion from him. You won't get stuff like what you heard from Joe Theismann, who went to Notre Dame, on the whole, oh, he could sell tickets to Notre Dame fans. That is draft community Twitter analysis right there, except he was on set at ESPN. The thing that I think we appreciate about Greg Cosell is he might be a little boring, he might be a little straightforward, but he tells you what is seen on film. There's no opinion. There's no conjecture with this guy. He doesn't say, oh, I would do this with him or I would do that with him. It's just, here's what you see whenever you watch the tape. And Greg Cosell, who, by the way, is a part of that Edge NFL matchup deal with Sal Powell that Merrill Hodge was a part of years ago. Now it's like Matt Bowen, I think, or something like that. But here's Greg Cosell and his breakdown of J.J. McCarthy, another one of the guys that the Patriots have allegedly kicked the tires on.
What's your opinion of J.J. McCarthy, Greg?
I don't think the tape spoke to a being a first-round pick. You know, I think that the system he played in, I'm sure it was pro-based in terms of terminology and methodology. You like to see things on tape that you feel you can extrapolate to the next level. You did not see a lot of that with J.J. McCarthy, which, again, doesn't mean he can't do it, Rich. Mm-hmm. It just means that you'd like to see it and you didn't. So now you look at him and obviously he's going to, you know, every quarterback goes out on a pro day and throws the ball nicely. I mean, it's shorts and a T-shirt. So I don't think he showed a particularly good arm on tape at Michigan. He played behind the best offensive line in college football. Receivers were open. It was relatively easy for him. I'm not necessarily a believer that he wasn't asked to do a lot because that's not on him. But it does matter when you think that. How do we evaluate a lot of these quarterbacks, Rich? If you're losing 27-17 in the fourth quarter and there's 8 minutes to go and you have to drop back and pass literally every play, do we know if J.J. McCarthy can do that? Maybe he can. I'm sure you'd say we don't really know the answer to that based on what he did in college.
So interesting because the one thing that he talks about is like, hey, you'd like to see something that he does on tape that could translate to the pros. And he's like, oh, you know, I haven't seen that. So you're literally going to have to just take a risk and assume that he can, right? You're reaching. You're reaching for the answer. You're reach. You got to reach. I don't see it. Well, God, I got it. We got to reach for it. Find me something that proves that he can do it.
And that's what you meant earlier on the May at number three, the manufactured player, because you're overdrafting someone.
Yeah.
And the haunting part of what could be the number three pick here might be what Marvin Harrison Jr. goes and does. And that's the real qualifier that I think you have to put on this is, while there are teams who do have the need at quarterback that are at the top of the draft, there are also a couple of ready-made plug-and-play guys who that quarterback will forever be linked to and compared to. Just ask, you know, Zach Wilson and Trey Lance and all those guys from that 2021 draft.
See, now Cosell, he likes what he likes, and he may see things different than you or another scout.
Somebody might look at the tape and see it differently.
Yeah, absolutely. But he sees it as being, you know, listen, this guy's a prospect almost in the definition of it, based on best offensive line, pro system. Good defense, always playing with a lead. I mean, like, how many opportunities do you have to really evaluate him? And he's probably irritated about it because he probably, J.J. McCarthy, that is, probably wishes he was in more situations where he could show how his play can translate to the pros. But based on the team that he's on and the system, doesn't allow him to do that. So he kind of gets screwed in that respect. And so what has he been doing? What has his camp been doing? What has Harbaugh been doing, his whole coach? Pumping him up as much as possible. Trying to convince everybody that regardless of what you've seen on tape and what's available, he is not that guy. He's much better than you think.
We're going to pick this up.
What is it?
It's a twofer Tuesday. Twofer Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Caller 9 to the contest line at 617-931-0937. A pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on Cleveland on April 18th. That's just a couple of days from now. So some free ducats to the game on Thursday. Foria and I will be doing the show from Fenway that day. Caller 9, contest line, you'll get a pair to see the Sox and Cleveland, 617-931-0937. Good luck on that. It feels like with J.J. McCarthy, getting back to the QB discussion, with a guy like McCarthy, it feels like there are those who want to see what they want to see but can't talk themselves into it. Whereas with Drake May, there were enough of the situations that you talked about. Hey, we're down 7 in the fourth quarter. I got to try to find a way to lead the team back. Yeah, I know my left tackle's leaky and I've only got one wide receiver. But if he drives down and ties the game, you're like, okay, that shows me a little something. Whereas a lot of time, J.J. McCarthy's playing in games with 20-point leads in the fourth quarter. So it's almost unfair to him. But the only thing you can go off of is the tape. And I would argue this. If Jim Harbaugh is so horny for J.J. McCarthy and thinks the guy's great, then he should be taking him at some point, I don't know, either late in the first round or early in the second or whatever, and then looking to kind of move on and alter his situation. But I don't think Harbaugh is necessarily inclined to do so. I know that right now it's contractually it's a problem to turn around and trade Justin Herbert. But if the head coach of the Chargers really believed in that quarterback, he'd find a way to end up with that guy by the end of Friday's draft.
Yeah, and this is the hype machine that is the draft with, okay, my client is J.J. McCarthy. So, Gresh, you're his agent. How do you convince the general public, which I don't know why you would either, you would really want to convince the coaches and the scouts, but there is a weird PR kind of process that goes on with this where the agent or whoever their marketing team decides, okay, we need to prove that J.J. McCarthy is just just as good as an option as Jaden Daniels or Drake May or Caleb Williams.
What I would do is be trying to draw as many Hindu theories as I could
Hindu
in the
theories?
NFL. Yeah, that's what my man Frank Coyle of Draft Insiders, when he does his book, he'll do the comparison to people in the NFL, and it's the Hindu theory of here's who I think it is. He would always do that.
Okay.
So I would be all over, hey, listen, winning matters. Point to Jalen Hurts. Point to Tua. Hell, the 508 gets real inflamed on this one. Even Mac Jones won at a high level, had a great first year. Whatever happened after that, but he came in ready to go. I would be trying to find as many of the guys who might have been undervalued but won a lot in college football and use that as the Josh Allen's work out once in a while, but look at the gaggle of guys who have been able to come in and play at a high level because they won at a high level. Trevor Lawrence would be another example. I'd be like, yeah, can't miss guy, number one pick, but we'll put it over the hump. He played championship level football. That's the only thing you can really sell on J.J. McCarthy is that there are other guys who understand the other stuff in playing quarterback in the league more than just throw it 75 miles and all that kind of stuff. So I think you try to sell on intangibles that he played for a crazy person who is now back in the NFL being that same crazy person. And hey, don't hold it against me that I played on a really good team. Because you know what I heard about guys like Mac and what you hear about J.J. McCarthy that doesn't get put on others is, well, they threw to guys that were wide open. They threw to guys that were wide open. So those wide receivers that everybody pines for, those guys did their job and the quarterback got them the ball. But any quarterback could do it. It was really easy because they were running wide open.
Yeah, minus a game here or there where they had take out your worst game, take out your best game, and they'll tell me what your average is. Listen, and the thing about J.J. McCarthy that people really love is just he does have that CEO kind of vibe about him, carries himself really well, probably walks into the locker room with a suitcase, right?
He talks well, and humble.
People generally like him. Hell, people love Justin Fields. The locker room of the Chicago Bears, they love Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. They didn't want him to leave. I don't think he wanted to leave, but they decided that they were going to have to replace him. So there wasn't a revolt, but there was definitely like, oh, man, he was a really good guy. He couldn't throw very well, and he relied on his legs too much, and they realized after 3 years that, it wasn't going to change. They couldn't develop him.
That's the real sell with McCarthy is you're getting someone who comes in who will have his mouth shut in theory, eyes open, ears on, has been coached by somebody who would demand sort of playing the game the pro way out of him. I feel like McCarthy in some ways is the guy that if you threw him in the pro environment, he might not be able to thrive right away because physically he may need some work. But I think mentally, J.J. McCarthy is probably one of the people who could walk in and fit in right away, yeah. If you know what I mean.
And you know what? And probably so could Bo Nix. I mean, so could Michael Penix.
Older guys
have already been on two different teams. Russell Wilson was that way. He was at NC State, and then he was done. It's before the portal even existed. And then he goes to Wisconsin, and he's voted a captain right away. And, of course, you could see that was a really good attribute that he had that people desired because he ends up winning the job in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and now he is who he is, but which is totally odd and different, but still.
Yeah, that there is a little difference there. The whole, you're right, making it odd. Hey, coming up at noon, it's Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston. We will get everything football-wise with Curran. But we did mention this, Fourier. And John Henry took some heat over the weekend, apparently.
Yeah.
For not being available to go to Larry Lucchino's funeral, if I have read this correct.
It was Henry and Warner.
Right.
So that trio, those three amigos, right? Oh, Lucchino obviously passes away.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this from... Who actually reported this? Was it Cotillo?
I don't know if it was Cotillo or not. Yeah, I think it was one of the baseball beat people, but regardless.
So Henry was supposedly sick.
Yeah.
And Warner was out of the country.
Okay.
I don't believe anybody was sick, and this is just me. I think it is terrible form. I think the big issue is just part of the problem overall with the Red Sox, and it goes back to the offseason when all the messages were screwed up. Everything they said made no sense. They were gaslighting you left and right. Sam Kenny, who's a great dude, who we love, is just, you know, saying one thing. Werner saying another thing. The whole full throttle, the whole everything about it. And then one of the I'm not going to call him the mastermind, but a very important figure in turning this entire organization around passes away. And the two other guys who he's partners with and he's joined at the hip with, neither one show up to his funeral. And then the reason is, to me, laughable. I'm out of the country. You can't hop on a plane and come back.
Honestly,
real quickly.
That one I can almost live with, because if you are out of the country and if you're doing it on vacation, it's one thing. If you're over there doing business, that's where I can understand it at their level. This isn't like, you know, us going with sales to meet someone. We're talking about, like, Warner maybe flew halfway around the world to go meet with billionaires or something
like
that.
I know, but even that one is, like, still kind of – I mean, even if you're so concerned about optics, which I feel like they're not. They don't care. They don't care if they send the wrong message. They don't care if they trip over their shoelaces. They don't care. Because in my opinion, this is the PR move. The PR move is to get your ass on a plane and show up. Now, Henry says he's not feeling well. Listen,
I'm not
a doctor. You know, you can't suck it up. What do you have? You can't just walk by real quick and then walk out.
Well, but if I do believe Linda Pizzuti Henry went there to kind of represent everyone, if they're in the same house or the same place or whatever, you know, is she carrying around a bunch of sickness or something like that? Because John's ill,
you can believe what you want to believe. The fact is that, like, every other day, there's another PR nightmare. There's another story that comes out that reminds you that the Red Sox are just not being run the right way. And no matter what they do, they look silly. They look out of touch. They look disconnected. That's what I see. To me, that's like, holy crap. How did it turn so quickly?
Yeah. I guess the way I would put it is they're not run the way we want them run, but they're not run poorly. They make gobs of money. Bad businesses go under. Their business is thriving. That's why I think they don't care. Plus,
That's why the message is always
plus the arch
off.
Plus the arch nemesis.
Who's that?
Of the Patriots. Because the Red Sox and the Patriots are competing for the same space, TV time, ad dollars. Big one. Shh, not supposed to say anything about that. All the teams aren't fighting all over Duncan. Duncan spends the same amount of money with all of them. No, but seriously. The Wicked Witch to the South is now getting theirs. So now the Red Sox can be like, just let those guys step in it. Hell, we'll get through half a year with nobody noticing what's going on over here. I think that's a part of it, too. They realize, hey, listen, we might screw up, but what they're about to do. I'm dead serious on it. Like, now they're like, we got 2.3 million tickets sold or whatever, and somebody can do the math and figure out we're going to be close and we're saving money anyway. But in the court of public opinion, just wait till that number three pick comes out. Wait till Kraft talks again. Wait till Mayo can't help himself for, this summer whenever they're doing the OTAs and stuff. I'm sure the Red Sox PR staff will just be like, yeah, boss, Mayo said this at about 9:43. We're okay today. We don't have to put anything out on social media. They'll catch hell. Everybody will rip them. We can just go out and lose 6-0. That's my theory. Speaking of losing, I mean winning, your lunchtime parlay is next.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go. Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI.
Well, the Friday parlay was almost a big winner. I guess I had the only hit on Thursday. Thank God Bobby Green beat Jim Miller. By the way, Fourier, I forgot to ask my kid to send them to me because they need to be edited down a little bit. But with the seats that my wife ended up accidentally getting, remember the day I couldn't buy the seats here? Couldn't get through the firewall? And they were pretty good, I got to say. They were expensive, but they were really good. The kids were able to run down to the rail, and it was right where the fighters are walking out. And Bobby Green, of all people, he starts walking out. Now, UFC, they want you to wear the shirt and the hat. It's all a part of the new sort of merch deal that they had or recently did, where the fighters will get money for wearing that stuff to the ring, more money than what they were getting, right? It's actually worth it for them to kind of keep it all on. Bobby Green took like two steps out of the tunnel and was practically like undressing. And he tried to take his hat off and throw it in the crowd. And it literally got like swatted away almost. Bobby Green's walking. He catches it again and then turned around and handed it to my oldest. So he ended up coming away with like the hat. And I'm like, oh, I bet on him in the parlay. I bet you it might ruin it. And then he beat the bag out of Jim Miller and all that kind of stuff. So that was at least there. So that was the only one. But Billy, unfortunately, brought everybody down yesterday with the Royals. But the Hart finally hit a pick.
Finally.
I mean, we'll take that. He hit his parlay, as he would say. Fourier was on Reed Detmer over 6.5 what?
Strikeouts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a strike. He struck out the Red Sox.
Well, I didn't see it in there.
Over 6.5 anything.
Right? It just said Reed Detmer over 6.5 what?
As long as it's over whatever you think it is,
steps.
That's the one I picked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
then.
6.5 steps. Winner.
There you go, winner. So we're back up on the horse again. The lunchtime parlay is presented by FanDuel, America's number one sports book and the official sports book of WEEI. Getting a little lean in terms of the NBA and the NHL action. I know we're heading into playoffs into both sports, but I'm going to start with an NHL game. I'm going to go Florida minus 150 tonight to beat Toronto. Florida, of course, trying to keep pace with the Bruins. A lot for them to play for. I think if you're Florida, you got to go for it tonight and at least try to win. So I'm going to go with the Panther on the money line at minus 150, but it is climbing. Billy Landy, good morning.
What's going on?
How are you? How did Benny enjoy his first Patriots day?
Oh, I loved it.
Loved it. Did you teach him the meaning of the day?
He was ready to run 26-2. You know, he was into it.
Ooh.
Did you have him in like a City Connect onesie?
Yeah, right. Never.
Just the, hey, I'm different. Today's different. Here's why.
Would Billy, is it safe to say that if Benny ran a marathon, he would be the first Lanny to do so?
Oh, my God, yeah. He'd be the first Lanny to run, period. Like, my brother did track, but he was a shot putter. He wasn't running.
No, that's not track. That's a field sport.
So I'm going also with the money line. I'm taking the Padres on the money line against the Brewers. They're in Milwaukee. Dylan Cease against Wade Miley. Padres on the money line.
Oh, Wade Miley. A name we've been willing to forget. Chicken Nick, what do you got?
Going with hockey and similar thinking to you, Gresh. The Red Wings, they needed a miracle comeback to beat the Canadiens last night. Mm-hmm. They're on a home and that weird home and home back-to-back. But the Red Wings, in the heat of it, they're tied for that last wild card spot. So give me the Red Wings tonight to beat the Canadiens.
And then finally, two-time Super Bowl champion and sometimes correct picker, Christian Farr.
More than you. So let's
well,
leave
with
that.
Well, I gave you a bunch.
Even with those removed, I'm still better than you. And as long as we keep doing that, I'm happy. You hate the fact that I have a better record than you, don't you?
You're up by a pick and a half because you got two ties in there.
Okay, you're still – you can't, like, sleep at night knowing that I'm a better picker than you.
You're
and today is going to bug you even more.
You're still still
I got a better record than you.
You're still finding theories.
No, I got another one. This is actually as no other theory than – can't use their due because the Lakers at Pelicans, right? The playing game tonight. Lakers got the first game. I'm going to take the Pelicans. And every little stat and every little analysis that you look at kind of tells you, warns you, don't take the Pelicans to win. Based on past performances, the last two games they played against the Lakers, they've lost. The Lakers are playing good in their last like 16 games. The Pelicans have not. But they're playing at home. Zion Williamson, he's skinny again. Even if the Lakers lose, they still got another chance because they would play, the 9-10 loser, right? Or winner, the 9-10 winner.
Every point that he just made, you got all that?
Yep, that's it. Hey, who's got the best record?
So
this guy.
So don't pick.
This guy. What is your record?
Way better than yours.
So, wow, you're up 10?
Oh,
what?
You mean these things are written down?
You actually
have to get out of my own head?
10 wins above 500?
So we got Florida in the NHL on the money line. We've got the Padres on the money line.
That's the run line.
Oh, the run line.
Run line, run and a half at plus 130.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Still the same odds, just wrong on the paper.
So it's plus the 1.5. Is that what it is, Billy, on the
minus
run line?
Minus 1.5 for the
minus 1.5. Okay, so mine.
Sorry for the faux pas.
That's all right. I put it in there. We give Terp a little time to sort of reset the whole board. All right, so it's Florida minus the 150 on the money line. Padres on the run line, giving up the run and a half. We got the Red Wings on the money line. And then the Pelicans, after telling you why you shouldn't take the Pelicans, Fourier then took the Pelicans on the money line. All that, folks. Your $10 could win you $81.16. Turb will get that up on social media, on Twitter, Gresh Fourier, W-E-E-I, Gresh and Fourier on Instagram, spell the A-N-D in between our last names. And we will talk with Tom Curran next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.